Tonight, we have a treat. All of our co-hosts will speak, and I'll do the closing. And our first speaker tonight is in the person of Brother Austin Wiggins. Brother Austin Wiggins is the minister of the Abida Church of Christ in Abida, Texas. Brother Austin Wiggins will bring us a message from God, the truth about God. Following him will be the truth about worship about Brother Hurst Child, and the truth about salvation, Brother Anthony Flunder, and I'll close us with a conclusion. And at this time, Brother Austin Wiggins, let us know what you got to say about the truth about God.
Thank you so much there, Brother Tommy, for that wonderful introduction. I'm going to come out of the box swinging tonight to really set the tone for the next 30 minutes or so as you and I open up the Word of God and take a look at it together. I want you opening your Bibles to the New Testament and to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is on the docket for the next 10 minutes. And I want you to appreciate with me that here on the Nationwide Gospel Call, it has been our primary objective to help instill and engender the type of faith that God requires for us to have. And we do so by preaching and teaching from God's Word. Our lessons revolve around living right. They revolve around doing right. They encourage us to do so and also remind us of our responsibility for God and the salvation that is offered through His beloved Son. Yes, we preach the Bible. And one such message that catches our eye tonight is going to be found in Hebrews chapter 6. And I want you to drop your eyes down and read with me verse number 11. That's Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 11. And it reads like this. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so I want you to appreciate this passage as you and I look at it together. And we begin tonight by stressing the necessity, the importance of faith. And it is virtually impossible, is it not, to be pleasing unto God, to be acceptable in His sight without faith. And of course, you and I should realize and appreciate that the Bible teaches us exactly what faith is. This is not merely acknowledging God, or nor is it even claiming to believe in God. Somebody says, Brother Wiggins, I believe in God. Congratulations. For James says, even the demons believe and tremble. That's James 2 in verse number 19. You have accomplished no more than what the demons have. No, faith isn't just belief. It isn't just professing some idea. It isn't just an admittance to one of your friends or family members or for all that can hear. No, faith is a little bit more than that, isn't it? And you haven't done anything more than what those that have pitted themselves against God, the very demons, have done, for they shudder, they tremble at their knowledge of the existence of God. Faith is a work. John chapter 6 and verse 29. This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. And you and I realize that faith, the type of faith, the one faith of the Bible that is spoken of in Ephesians chapter 4, is a faith that has shown itself, it's proved itself. It is a faith, it is a belief that is coupled with action. That is the type of faith that God requires for us. We all know Honey Baby, don't we? Oh, you know Honey Baby. You come home and you see her every evening when you get off work. You see him at the ballpark. Y'all dated for many years. Maybe you're in that relationship with that special someone. You've got a spouse. You've got a girlfriend. You've got somebody that is special in your life. And maybe they'll say, sweetheart, I love you. I love you. And the only proper response to that, if you've been married longer than 3 minutes, is, honey, I love you too. And why wouldn't you say that? I love you too. And there, that pacifies individuals for a little while, doesn't it? As you say the words that they want to hear, and you make that grand gesture, that grand expose, as it were, as you profess your love for your loved one, and maybe they go back. But as time weighs on, she comes back. Yes, as the weeks go by, she comes back and she says, look, don't you love me? Why, yes, baby, I love you. Don't you love me? Yes, baby, I love you. And yet the dishes are dirty. The clothes lay in a pile on the floor. You ain't brushed your teeth in 2 months. The grass is knee high. You're saying the right things, but you are not here for me physically. You're not here for me emotionally. Your works don't tell the tale. Right? That's how relationships go. That's how we realize relationships go in our daily lives. And I want you to understand that that's the way it works with your relationship with God. Remember that the Apostle Paul told the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12 to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. A relationship takes work. And that's exactly what God is relating to us through his divine word. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But I want you to notice that next phrase, the one I really want to key in on. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. You must believe that he is. Some translations say that you must believe that God exists. It's extremely important. Believe that he exists. The psalmist will say in Psalm chapter 90 and verse number 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The Bible doesn't offer an explanation about the origins of God. It doesn't tell us where God came from. It simply begins in Genesis 1 and verse number 1, in the beginning God. In the beginning God existed. He has always existed. He will continue to exist. And you and I as his creations, it would do us well, would it not, to acknowledge that fact. God exists, and he created the world, and he set man upon it. And he has delivered unto man his set of instructions, and it is his every right to do so as our creator. He makes demands from us, does he not? And we have them preserved, do we not? Many of us tonight sitting in our laps already open in our copies of the Bible. And within them, he has given for us, we'll call it the blueprints, has he not? For the lives in which you and I are to live. What he has done in the past, what he has planned for us in the future, and what he is going to do at the end of time. We learn about our origins, do we not, from the Bible, where we come from and who we are. And we realize very early on that we are not mistakes and we're not products of time and evolution as so many would have us to believe today. Oh no, you're not two rungs up from a monkey on the evolutionary ladder. No, that's not the way God portrays it. We're not one step away from whatever it is that runs through your trash at night. No, we're special. Humanity is created. We're created for a purpose. Remember going all the way back to the book of Genesis, he says that he made man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Within this book, not only does it teach us about the existence of God, but realizing that God exists, that God created us, he created the world as we know it, helps us to realize that our life has value. It gives value to human life. His word has given us, his blueprints have given us emotional stability in our lives during trying times here upon this earth. He has given us hope. He has given us meaning. And it is he who hears our plights through the avenue of prayer and all compassionate God. To borrow the words from the Apostle Paul, he says at the end of his book to the Romans, in Romans 16, I believe it's around verse number 26, he calls or makes reference to the everlasting God. And it is that which we believe in and that which we preach here on the Nationwide Gospel Call. Somebody say amen. He who created all things, he who knows all things, and he who sees all things. Yes, we could even say, if you'll allow me the freedom of expression, that he's on the call tonight. God is looking down, the God of the universe is looking down upon us, and he sees so many things. And indeed, God is so many things. And it is he who calls on us. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, he calls on us to recognize his existence. God exists. This is an important message in our day and age, brethren and friends, and an age in which man refuses to admit the truth. The truth that all of created order screams at humanity every day that we walk upon this earth. There is a God, and our God reigns. Of all the problems that we see in this life, you can count them up with me. We can count up evolution, critical race theory, thousands of different religions and denominations worldwide. We've got drug use. We've got abortion, murder, rape, racism, laziness, the lack of morality, foul language, transgenderism, adultery, rioting in the street, all 58 gender identities, people that refer to themselves in the third person and worse. All the things that go on in a society that has lost their minds and they've lost their belief in God and his word. What a confused people. I remember that Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 10, O Lord, it is not within man who walketh to direct his own steps. No, God realizes what mankind needs emotionally, spiritually, physically, because he created us. And yet we look upon a nation, upon a people that have rejected God and replaced him with a bunch of ludicrous and half-baked ideas in an attempt to make sense of this life and the world in which we live. They have failed. They have failed miserably, and they will continue to do so as long as they cut God out of the picture. For he has already provided the direction and information that man needs in his life. And finally, that last clause of Hebrews 11:6, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Sometimes seeking him? No. Part-time seeking him? No. Just on Sunday seeking him? No. Those that diligently seek him. We believe that, don't we? We believe that. And I want you to appreciate that if God doesn't exist, then there is no word from God. And if there is no word from God, then the Bible is a concoction and it ought to be thrown out. And if the Bible doesn't exist, then the Son of God doesn't exist. And if the Son of God doesn't exist, then sin doesn't exist. And if sin doesn't exist, there's no need for a Savior. There's no need for Christian living. There's no need for God, for law. There's no transgression of the law. There's no need for salvation. There's no need for worship, Brother Stroud. There's no need for any of it. And there certainly wouldn't be a need for heaven. There's no downside. Listen to me. There's no downside to believing in God. He is the best explanation for everything that we can imagine. He answers all the questions of life. And as man fumbles over themselves, trying to answer it without God, foolishness reigns. We need to believe in the existence of God wholeheartedly. And brethren, we need to work to cultivate a relationship with the God of the universe. And in doing so, we will be blessed for eternity. And I'm going to close my thought with this. The Apostle Paul to young Timothy, he says these words in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We have contemplated upon God and the existence of God and the truth therein, the wisdom of reflecting upon such from Hebrews chapter 6, or 11, and verse number 6. Next up is Brother Horace Stroud. Brother Stroud is one of those men that I think of fondly already, and it might be interesting for you to know that I've never laid eyes on the man. I'm looking at the flyer right now, and I see his smiling face etched into my memory. And I long for the time, Brother Stroud, that I get to meet you and shake your hand one day that's coming soon. So listen up as you listen to me, as Brother Stroud preaches to us in his message, the truth about worship. Brother Stroud.
Thank you, Brother Wiggins. And I want to say on this spiritual relay that we're running tonight, you did an outstanding job of coming out of the blocks with the truth about God. For the next few moments, I want to share from the Word of God that God that Brother Wiggins so excellently identified, that God is to be worshipped. So I'm going to talk on this afternoon or this evening for the brief moments that I have, the truth about worship. You'll follow with me. I'll be reading from the King James version of the Bible in Matthew chapter 4, and the verse is number 8. Matthew chapter 4, and the verse is number 8 through verse 10. The Bible reads, again, the devil taketh him being Jesus, up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And verse 10 says, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Jesus here in this text identifies who it is that any spiritual person should worship, that being the Lord thy God. Why should one worship God? Well, in John chapter 3, and the verse is number 16, the Bible records, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God gave his only begotten Son for the world. He loved the world. And then Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, says, "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." God loved us enough. He gave his only begotten Son, and that Son died for all of us, because the Bible says all have sinned, Romans 3:23. And so Christ died for us. That's the love that God has for man. That is why one should worship God, because God loved us first. And then when Jesus records in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, the Bible records that he said, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." The truth about worship. So those that are true worshipers are worshipers that have been taught. Those that worship the Father in spirit and in truth, truth being according to God's will, is how one should worship him. Because Jesus said in verse 24 of John chapter 4, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So we see the word worship here. Worship includes acts as well as the proper attitude which causes them. Worship involves an attitude which expresses itself in acts which find acceptance in the will of another, and that another is God himself. So now, what does the New Testament authorize us to do in worship service to God? In Acts chapter 2, and the verse is number 42, and then Acts chapter 2 and verse is 47, we'll see those acts that they worship God with the first time they assembled to worship God after the ascension of Christ. Note what the Bible records in Acts 2:42. "And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer." Verse 47 says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So now, the apostles' doctrine is teaching. Fellowship here is a contribution or giving of money. The breaking of bread is a remembrance of the Lord's death on the cross, and prayers are to be made to God. And again, praising is singing to God. These five acts, along with the proper attitude, were instructed by the Apostle Paul to be performed by the Corinthian Christians and are our commands today. The truth about worship. So we'll look in the Corinthian letter and identify the five acts of worship that Paul instructed them to do in their worship to God. The first one being the apostle doctrine. In your Corinthian letter, if you find 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible records, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways with thee in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." So apostles' doctrine is the teaching of the word of God. Secondly, we'll find fellowship in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Paul said, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come." So fellowship, again, is sharing or offering or the giving to the Lord. And as God has prospered, as God has prospered us in material things, we give back to the Lord. Number two. Thirdly, we have the breaking of bread, which is the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, the Bible records, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" And then we find that we take the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day. And then finally, number four and number five, prayer and praise, which is singing, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and the verse is number 15, where the Apostle Paul wrote to those Christians in Corinth. He said, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit," that's your attitude, "and I will pray with the understanding also," that's prayer. And he said, "I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." And so we find only those that worship accordingly are given God's approval in their worship to him. Now I pass the baton to Brother Flonder, who will tell us about this God whom we are to worship, who also offers salvation to mankind. Brother Flonder, will you tell us about the truth about salvation? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Stroud, and thank you, Brother Wiggins. If we were to do a simple word study, the book of truth, the definition of the word truth, Webster's defines truth as the real facts about something or the things that are true. The Cambridge Dictionary defines the word truth as the quality of being true. As we continue to define terms, my subject tonight is the truth about salvation. Again, a common and basic word study, the word salvation means the act of saving someone, protecting them from harm or from risk or from loss or from destruction. If we take what has been said thus far, that the existence of God is real, that worship is something that God commands, and it must be worship according to the Spirit and also to the truth, but salvation must also be by those same tenets by which God has given us. In fact, the Bible says in John chapter 17 and verse number 17, "To sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." In fact, the psalmist would say in Psalms 119 and verses 160, where he says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." In fact, the Bible, that inspired word of truth, says in John chapter 14, verse number 16, as it describes Jesus Christ, as Jesus describes himself, saith, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So in our examination of the truth about salvation this morning, we will learn the terms and the conditions by which God has given us salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm going to direct your attention to the word of God again, just as Brother Wiggins and just as Brother Stroud have as well. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So our system in which we are learning about is the gospel system. Our source in which we find out and learn what truth is the Bible. So when we examine the Bible and see that salvation is to be delivered from destruction, then how the Bible fits that definition is that we must be delivered from sin. And in being delivered from sin, we can be delivered from eternal death. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death. So why is this important? How do these subjects relate to me on tonight? Friends, if you're listening and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, then you are still in a state of sin. Just as Brother Wiggins has iterated, God made us upright according to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 29. We are not animals. We don't have instincts. We have consciousness to recognize right from wrong, good from evil. In fact, Paul would write in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 15 that God created us with the nature of God to know what good and what wrong is. Man errs when they depart from God. When they choose to go against the law of God, man transgresses against the law of God and man sins. God in his omniscience, God in his power made a provision before the foundation of the world that his creation, which he so loved, would have an opportunity to be redeemed by his son. In fact, God esteems his only begotten son. He extols his only begotten son by what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Listen to Jesus tonight to learn the conditions and the terms for salvation. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 23 pertaining to our salvation, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. What are you saying, Paul? How does this relate to the truth about salvation? The Bible teaches us that there is only one church. Though we live in a society where there are a myriad of churches on every street corner, the design that God has given us that we can read about in his holy word is that there is only one. There was only one church. There will always be only one church. That one church is the church that Jesus gave himself for, according to Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. The Bible says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased. What did he purchase it with, Paul? His own blood. Lord, have mercy. The Savior of the church, the Savior of the body, purchased that church with his own blood. It is that blood purchase. It is that 100% efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ that can deliver us from sin when we come in contact with his precious shedded blood, according to Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5. That same Jesus who is the Savior of the body, that same Jesus who purchased the church with his own blood, is the same Jesus whom his Father gave all power and all authority. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, whether they be black, white, green, yellow, Jew, Gentile, it does not matter the ethnicity. Bible says teach all nations, then baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Friends, if you're listening tonight, the truth about salvation is that our Savior Jesus Christ has the power and the authority to mandate the terms for salvation. He has the position to be the Savior of the church. He has the power to save. He loved the church and gave himself for it. He purchased the church with his own blood. Listen to God's Son. Listen to Jesus Christ. Listen to his terms of salvation. Christ is our deliverer. Christ is our preserver. Christ is our redeemer. Christ is our protector. Jesus is our defender. He is our hope. And at this time, I pass the baton to our host minister, Brother Tommy Brooks. Brother Brooks, tell us the conclusion tonight.
Thank you very much, Brother Anthony, Brother Plunder, and Brother Stryle, and Brother Austin. We appreciate you all so very much tonight as we go to the conclusion of this matter. We want everyone to know that the intent of this call is to really reach those who do not know Jesus upon your sins. And I just want to remind everyone that these men have brought the Word of God. I shouldn't have to say much after these guys have done their job of talking about the truth about God, worship, and salvation. But I do want to conclude with the idea that we're coming to the end of the new year and the conclusion here. All of us understand that because of the pandemic, we've seen death all over the TV. God has reminded us that people are dying. We're going to die. Jesus said, if you die in your sins where I am, you can't come. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon, being the wisest man to ever live, wrote, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come nigh, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And verse 2, he said, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. And verse 4, he says, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of grinding is low. He shall rise up at the voice of the bird, all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Verse 5, and when they shall be afraid that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, an almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because, right here where I want to be, because man goeth to his long home, notice now, and the mourners go about the streets. Basically, I don't have time to deal with all the first five verses up there, but he's talking about the aging process from a young man to an old man. And in this verse 5, he's talking about the fact that when you get old, you're afraid of heights, and the fear shall be in the way, an almond tree, your hair gets gray, and grasshoppers, such as little kids and other things, a burden, desire shall fail. You don't have the same desire as a young man. But then here's all this aging process up to this point. He said, because from a young man to an old man, from a young lady to an old lady, every one of us is headed to our long home. And the mourners are going about the street. What are you telling us, Solomon? The funeral is near. You know, the funeral is near, you all. The funeral is near. At this point, we're standing at the door of death as you get to this age. It happens to all of us. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So the wise man that lived in comes in verse 6. He said, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. See, what he's talking about now, the civil cord of life. Death is the snap of the civil cord of life. Death is the golden bowl broken. The golden bowl of life is broken in death. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain. The death breaks the pitcher which contains the fountain of life. Or the wheel at the wheel broken at the cistern. Death is the wheel broke at the wheel of life, or the cistern. So what is Solomon doing? What is this wise man doing? He's helping us to all understand as we end this year. We're coming to the end of 2021. Let me bring it back to the application that I want to make for us in this conclusion here in 5-10 minutes. He's helping us to understand death is irreversible. It can't be repaired. You can't come back and live again in this life. So what is the message? The punch is this. This is not a message to young or old people. It's a message to all of us. Because in verse 7 he said, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now life on earth is over at death. The body goes back to dust, and the spirit of life returns to God. No more life in the body. That's why our body is stiff when it's in the coffin. There's no spirit in it. It's gone. Nothing else left. Nothing else left but a body that goes back to the dirt. Nothing else in this life matters. And death. You can't change anything. Well, so what does this all mean as we conclude this 2021 this year? What are we doing in our call? Solomon said in verse number 8, vanity of vanity, say the preacher all of vanity. Well, what are you saying, Solomon? Meaningless, meaningless. Vanity means meaningless. Everything you've done in life means nothing if you live your life and you didn't include God. Because there's one thing about it. There's one event that's going to happen to all of us. It's called death. And so with that in mind, Solomon, as we conclude, drops down to verse number 13, 12 and 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 says, now that you understand that every one of us are marching and walking to the place of death, the mourners are in the street. We're headed to our long home. Solomon says, don't try to understand everything about life. Because here's the conclusion of it. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What matter was he talking about? From birth, from a young man to old man. From youth to elderly people. There's one thing you must do before you die. Two things. Fear God, number one. Number two, keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty, not partial. It's the whole duty of man. Brothers, sisters, ladies and gentlemen and friends, the question you must answer is this. Did you fear God and keep his commandments, or did you not? She said, why is that, brother? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Whether it be good or evil. What a conclusion. What a conclusion. Death is the end of chances. To know that God we talked about. To know about his worship. And to know about the plan of salvation. Death is the end of chances for baptism. For life. For forgiveness. For clear consciences. For obeying the truth. And to be a part of the few. Going to go to heaven. He said, what? Wild few. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, any inner straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Notice he said, many will go that way. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be defined it. Why have we put this program on with such emphasis on believing what the Bible says? The truth about this book called the Bible is God's word, and the truth of the matter is not everyone is going to heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, do we believe the Bible? Then do you believe in Jesus? Then you must believe this. Not everyone is going to heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Many will say to me that day, Lord, do we not do this? Prophesy your name, in your name, cast out devils, done many wonderful works. And Jesus said, I will profess unto them. These were good people, done wonderful works. What did they miss out on? The conclusion was, did you fear God? Did you keep his commandments? Because if you did you believe in the God that Brother Wiggins talked about? If you fear God, you believe in the worship that Brother Stroud talked about. If you fear God and keep his commandments, you believe in the salvation plan God gave us. So death is the end of chances for obedience. Conclusion of the night is this, my friends. If you're on the call tonight, know this. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, what we're saying is that you need to listen carefully, because before 2021 is over, you could die. But it's in this book called the Bible. Jesus said himself, if you die in your sins where I am, you can't come. So what did he do? John 3:16, God so loved the world, the golden passage. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe him, not shall not, like Billy Graham and all the guys, insert that one word shall. It don't say shall. Go back and read that. It says should not. You should not perish if you believe in this book. For God sent his son. His son came and lived among men for about 33 years. last 24 hours of his life, he was a death row inmate. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and pleaded with his father, let this cup pass, but he would accept the father's will. He left the Garden of Gethsemane. He was kissed with the kiss of death by Judas. He stood before Pilate. Pilate had him whipped with a whip called a flagellum. They beat him, the stripes were all over his body, blood shed down his body from the whip that wrapped around the tore flesh from his bones. No, they spit on him, they mocked him. Pilate said, I found no fault with the man, but the people said, crucify him, crucify him. Not only did they say it, they did it. They released Barabbas, and they took Jesus, put a crown of thorns on his head, put the tree of the cross on his back. They walked him to Calvary, and they got him to Calvary, and the soldiers were piercing with nails in his hands and his feet. They would lift him up, and Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. And what he meant there, when they lifted him up on the cross, the drawing power to save a soul, my friend, is the fact you must love God for sending his only son. You must love his son for suffering on that cross. And they were lifting him up. If you can see him tonight, you know you haven't obeyed him. Why wouldn't you obey a God who would love you so much? Why wouldn't you obey a son that would hang 6 long hours suffering and in pain and agony on the cross between 2 guilty men, 2 thieves? He had done no wrong. He knew no wrong. There was no guile found in his mouth, but he died because of me. He died. He became sin for me. He became sin for you. On that cross, we should have been on the cross, not Jesus. But he went in our place, and tonight I offer you him. He said, if I lift you, lift me up, Tommy, I'll draw him out to me, and I'm lifting Christ up. The conclusion is, did he lift him up enough? Can you see the love of the cross? Can you see what he did for you? Do you believe it with all of your heart? Are you willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus to be the Son of God? Then render your body to be buried as commanded by Jesus. In Mark 16:15-16, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. How can someone say they love Jesus and not keep his commandment? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandment. Here's the command that we're preaching. You believe in him, you believe in this God, you believe in worship, you believe in this book called Bible, the Bible, then you ought to believe in baptism. Sure, you should. Don't say you believe in Jesus, you don't believe in baptism, because they came from the same book. That's an oxymoron all by itself. How can someone say they believe in Jesus, don't believe in the Bible, don't believe in baptism, when he was the one who said it? Matthew 28:18, he said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, the Bible says that. Jesus said that. And we believe that. Baptism, Peter said, he believed that. Peter baptized 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Peter believed it. 1 Peter 3:21, he said, baptism does also now save. But Paul believed in baptism, Galatians 3:26, Romans 6:3, and many other verses, 1 Corinthians 12:13, and the following verses. You got, it's all through the Bible. There's so much water in the Bible, you could squeeze it in a just wring out water, because water baptism is preached in the New Testament to save souls. Everyone had to be baptized. They were saved. Acts 22:16, even the chief of sinners, Saul himself, preacher went to him, Acts 22:16. He said, arise, why tarry? He was trying to pray the sinner's prayer. Ananias told him, get up. Why tarry? I'll be baptized. Wash away your sins. Call him on the name of the Lord. So the conclusion is this. Number one, you must hear Acts 15:7. You must hear the words of the gospel. Gospel is that suffering story I told in the last 2 minutes here. I just gave you the power of the gospel. Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Do you believe he died? Do you believe he suffered? Then why not obey him tonight? Why not obey him tonight? And if you believe it, then number one, you hear it. Number two, you believe it. Number three, Jesus said this, I tell your name, but except you repent. If you don't stop what you're doing, if you don't change what you're doing, if you don't render your body to be buried and obey God, you're going to lose your soul. The conclusion is you didn't fear God and you didn't keep his commandments. All you got to look forward to is judgment. Now, after that, you repent. After you make your decision, I need to give my life to the Lord and change my ways. Leave denomination. Leave this false teaching and come to the truth, or the few going to be saved. And then be willing to be just boldly state, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me, I'll deny you. Matthew 10:32, the following verses. And then after that, you got to be baptized as commanded by the Lord. And then the Lord, then, will add you to the only church you can read about in the Bible, the Church of Christ. That's the only one in there. Somebody say that. The name Church of Christ, that's the descriptive phrase. That phrase describes who owned it. Jesus died for his church, Matthew 16:18. He would build a church. He said he would. Acts 20:28, he shed the blood that would purchase that church. And that church wears his name. It is his wife, Ephesians chapter 5. And the blood that he shed on the cross will wash your sins away. And that same blood purchased that church, and that's the church in the Bible. If I was you, in the conclusion of this thought, I would not die in a church that I couldn't read about in the book called the Bible. But of course, people gamble. Take your chances if you so will. But that's not what we preach. We're saying that the Bible is right about God. The Bible is right about worship. The Bible is right about salvation. In our hands, the Bible is right about the conclusion of your decision, even tonight. Did you fear God and keep his commandments? We hope you've enjoyed the lessons tonight. Again, I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister. If you have a question for any of us, you can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Now, you may want to go back and listen to our sermons. Tonight, we all kind of rapidly talk tonight. We relay tonight, as Brother Stroud said. We had a spiritual relay. Appreciate the brethren who did it. But if you may have a question, or maybe you just didn't, you missed some things we said, it's going to be on our website. We have it uploaded. Go ahead and go to our website, highlightcoc.net. Click on Nationwide Gospel Call, and you'll see these lessons will be up, I'm sure, by tomorrow. It'll be up where you can download them. You can listen to them. You can go back and rewind them. If you're on the call tonight and you've been listening to us over and over, you won't have no excuse on judgment. You're gonna just God know you heard the truth when you listened to us, but you didn't obey him. Don't die like that. And I gave you the conclusion. Of course, we don't want you to die in sin. Now, if you have a question for me or for any of the speakers or anybody who come on our program, you go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Or besides, you want to be baptized, you want to start this new year right, you want to get it right, end this year, 21, and go into 22, a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ, obedient to the truth, be true to God, true to worship, and true to the plan of salvation that God has given us, and understand the conclusion is yours, and that you can either die fearing God or keep his commandments, or not doing that. Now, we want to be able to help you. We're so thankful to you. We're thanking every person on the call that's not a member of Church of Christ. You're the VIP of our call. You're a very important person. We speak the truth in love. We do this not to hurt people, but to tell the truth and make sure you know what you need to do before life ends. With that in mind, I want to thank my co-host, Brother Austin Wiggins, Brother Horace Stroud, Anthony Flunder, for assisting me this year. We thank all the preachers all across the nation who were part of our nationwide gospel meeting all over the year. And we also want to thank every member of the church who supported our program. And we pray that you'll know every night, starting next week, we'll start on Thursday night. We're going to do another gospel meeting next year via the conference call with more. We'll give you more information on that as well. And I'll be speaking and kicking us off next week. And so we ask you to join us again next week from 9 to 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, where I will bring the first opening lesson next week, and you'll be able to, we'll do 30 minutes then, and I'll be able to give you a sermon on Let Christ Draw You in 2022. Let Christ Draw You in 2022, coming from John chapter 12 and the verses number 32. Again, we thank you so very much for joining us. I'm going to see which one of my co-hosts I can get to. Brother Austin Wiggins, if you're available, we'll get you to do our close in prayer. Since you open us up, we'll let you close us with a prayer. We'll appreciate you so very much. Appreciate you, Brother Flunder and Brother Stroud. And we love everyone who's been joining our call. May God bless you. To close this year out feeling blessed. Get ready for another year and give God all the glory. We pray when you lay your head on the pillow tonight that you will lay your head peacefully knowing you've obeyed God. But if you haven't obeyed him, I don't think you should sleep peacefully until you obey God, because the danger is you could lose yourself. Brother Week, if you give us a closing prayer.
Let's all pray. Our most righteous Heavenly Father, we come to the end of another year, dear God, and we're mindful at this time, dear God, of the preciousness of life, the preciousness of your word, and how wonderful it is to live in a day and time in which the access to your word is so freely given. And we thank you for the men that are behind this work, that have devoted their time and dedication, Father. We know that their efforts have not gone unnoticed. And we pray, Father, that you'll be with them and bless them and be with the listeners tonight all across the land, wherever they may be and wherever this phone call may reach them. We pray that you'll be with the church, Father, that you'll be with the righteous, and be with the redeemed, and help us to be the type and kind of people you would have us to be, that we might look behind us and view the year that has passed and count our blessings, and that we look forward to 2022 with a sense of hope and dedication to your service. And for those that have listened tonight, Father, that are estranged from you, that they are not members of the church, they have never obeyed your will, they have never rendered obedience to the gospel, we pray, Father, that messages like this one will continually work upon their hearts as we strive to preach the truth to them, that they may realize the importance of fearing you and keeping your commandments. We pray, Father, that you'll be with us all. Bless us. Forgive us when we fail thee. Help us to do better in the future. Hear this prayer. Accept our thanksgivings. It's in your Son's holy name we pray, and amen.
Thank you. We pray you enjoyed the closing messages tonight on the last night of this year. May God bless you for your support. Thank you so very much. We love you. We hope and pray you continue to pray for our effort as we reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's not forget the suffering on the cross was all for us. Have a good night.